The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster on this side of the glass in the Bustos Media Studios. Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing on the other side of the glass in our space age control room. Together, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show, midweek edition, mid-January already, 15th of January, 2020. We do broadcast from the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio on 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk anywhere in the world, live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. We have assembled over 9 years quite an archive of programs on that website, and it's so easy to use. Put in the name of the person you are searching for, and it will pop up. So there are a lot of programs there. You can listen to them on your schedule 24/7 at buckmastershow.com, the live line number. If you'd like to join in our conversation anytime during the hour, the number is 790-2040. The Buckmaster Show contributor on health is Dr. Victoria Mazes. We are so honored to have people like Dr. Mazes with us. She's one of more than two dozen regular contributors. These are experts in their field that give up their time to come on our program and share their thoughts with you. The Andrew Weil Endowed Chair in Integrative Medicine, Dr. Mazes, is the Executive Director also of the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona. Boy, talk about an impressive resume. She's a professor of medicine, family medicine, and public health. She's internationally recognized as a leader in integrative medicine. She is committed to health promotion and pioneering change efforts that solve America's healthcare system problems. She is the editor of the Oxford University textbook titled Women's Integrative Health, and she's the author of Be Fruitful, The Essential Guide to Maximizing Fertility and Giving Birth to a Healthy Child. You can learn more about her on her website, Victoria Mazes, MD, or follow her on Twitter at VMazes. Dr. Mazes joins us now on the live line from the University of Arizona. Dr. Mazes, how are you?
I am doing well, thank you. How are you feeling?
Doing well. I'm in this category, and I'll give it to you straight. It seems like everybody in Tucson is A, had a cold or flu, B, has it, and now in recovery. I would be in the B category, and C, people like my friend Tom Fairbanks, engineering producing. Tom's on the other side of the glass, hoping not to get it. It's a tough time of year.
Well, I have to stand with you, Bill. I had a bad cold that lasted longer than usual, but thankfully I did not have the flu, which is a really, really serious illness.
Something is going on, and I've been in this town a long time. This winter, people are complaining of the duration of these particular viruses. And of course, in some cases, they're bacterial. And we're going to get into all of that. And I think it would be a good starting point, Dr. Mazes. Please differentiate for our listeners, what is a cold and what is a flu?
Yeah. So, sometimes it's not obvious. I'm just going to say that. But in general, a cold is milder than the flu. Its onset is more gradual. It is associated with runny nose, sneezing, congestion. Maybe there's a cough. Maybe there's no cough. Whereas the flu is a serious illness where you feel like you've been hit by a truck. It comes on rapidly. One day you're fine, the next day you have fever and achiness and sweats and chills, and it has some other kinds of symptoms. It usually has headache, it usually has some cough, although it may be a dry cough. You feel very weak and just like you really can't get out of bed. So it's much more than the runny nose, sore throat, nasal congestion perhaps, of a cold. The flu also typically lasts longer, and it can be more deadly. In fact, this year, the CDC estimates that almost 5,000 people have died of this year's flu, and 87,000 people have been hospitalized.
Where do you begin if you think you've got the cold or a flu? Is there a test that can be done to determine exactly what you have?
Yeah, so a few things. They're both viral infections, and we don't have as rich a set of medications for viral infections as we do for bacterial infections. But if you have that rapid onset, you feel like you've been hit by a truck, you have fever, sore throat, achiness, chills, sweats, fatigue, and it's come on all at once, there is medicine. There are actually four different medicines that you can get prescribed to you, and it's important to take them in the first 24 to at most 48 hours, and then they will shorten the duration and lessen the intensity of the symptoms. So it is good to at least consider, could I have the flu? Because if you did and you caught it early, you might be able to go on one of those antiviral medicines and have less hard of a time getting through it.
Are you referring to Tamiflu?
That's one of them. Yes, Tamiflu is one of the prescribed medications, maybe the one that's most commonly prescribed. Yeah.
Well, here's one for you. If this is an antiviral, Tamiflu, and the others that you say, perhaps three others, why would they not work on a virus, a cold virus, that you if you took, say, the Tamiflu at the very beginning of the cold virus?
That's a really good question, and I think I know the reason, but I'm going to say I don't know it for sure, so I'm not going to theorize on your radio show.
Sure.
But remember, you know, viruses can work in all kinds of different way. The medicines, like Tamiflu and Relenza, have something called neuraminidase inhibitors, which basically blocks the ability of the virus to get into a cell and reproduce. But, you know, different viruses work in different ways, and so that those medicines are actually not effective for the common cold. There are other things that people can do to reduce the duration of a common cold, and some of them are more effective than others, but there are some dietary supplements, including botanical medicines like andrographis is one that you can use to shorten the duration. There are foods like garlic and onions, which have antiviral properties. There are some medicinal mushrooms like shiitake and reishi and maitake that you could put in a soup. Probiotics probably help some. Maybe using a neti pot or a Neelmed sinus rinse to rinse out your sinus passages can be helpful. Rest, of course, if you're feeling sick. And, you know, the most important message maybe that we should have started with is prevention, prevention, prevention. So there is a vaccine that helps prevent the flu, and careful hand washing, because that virus can live on surfaces. So if you open a doorknob that someone else who had the flu just opened, you've just exposed yourself. If you touch the phone of somebody who has the virus, you've exposed yourself. So it can be on all kinds of surfaces, and that's why you want to frequently and carefully wash your hands, or this is a time when using some of those antibacterial hand washes is useful.
Let me ask you something about immune systems. Granted that you have a normal immune system, is it just bad luck that you were to get these viruses, or is there something about your immune system, Dr. Mazes, that opens the door to make you susceptible to them?
Yeah, that's a really important question. And it is interesting, you know, you could expose 10 people to the flu and they're not all going to get it.
Right.
So why is it that one does and another doesn't? You know, one of the historically most important flus that happened in our country and actually worldwide was in 1918. It was sometimes called the Spanish flu. And a really significant number of people. It's estimated somewhere between 50 and 100 million people worldwide
wow.
died of that flu. The only other disease we know of that took that many lives is the Black Death, but that was over a four-year period as opposed to a one-year period, which is what the Spanish flu did. And in that Spanish flu, it wasn't old people whose immune systems weren't as strong. It wasn't babies. It was actually young, healthy adults. And they believe that what happened is that people who normal immune system had an overwhelming response to that flu virus and essentially filled the lungs up with fluid, and people could have been fine in the morning and dead by nightfall.
Oh, my
so
goodness.
We like to think, oh, we want a robust immune system, but actually sometimes it's our own immune response that gets us in trouble. So in general, however, we do know that it's young and people who have some kind of immune compromise and the elderly who are at more risk of a serious flu or of dying from the flu.
All right, one more question about this, and we do need to take the break. Why are these viruses so seasonal oriented? In other words, you don't talk about this, or hopefully people are not going to be getting sick in the middle of summer here.
Yeah, there is a season to the flu. In Arizona, it began in September. You know, in parts of the world where they have the opposite winter from us, for example, Australia, you know, it begins at the opposite time of year. And so we actually sometimes get some clues about how bad a flu it's going to be based on how our cousins in Australia are doing with it. So it is definitely something that is more prevalent in the wintertime.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. We'll be back with Dr. Mazes right after I tell folks about Mona's Danish Bakery, my favorite bakery in town. Mona's is home of the Danish Kringle. Chief baker and owner Steve, boy, does he do a great job with his pastries. And they're so excited about the real success story has been Steve made an investment and decided to put in a grill so they could start the hot breakfast. And it's been a big hit. They're open each morning at 6:30. They're up at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. And suppose you want breakfast at 11 o'clock in the morning, or right now you're hungry, you'd like some blueberry pancakes and maybe a couple of eggs. There's no problem. Go into Mona's. Say you'd like breakfast now. That's not a problem. Or how about lunch? They've got a beautiful lunch menu. Mona'sDanishBakery.com. Also a link not only to Mona's, but we are just so delighted and really honored to have a great roster of partners who've been with us in many cases since day one, the launch back in January of 2011. These are people that believe in what we do each day here on the radio, and I want to thank them. And please give a listen now to their messages. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 850 transportation projects or service improvements across the region to date. The RTA is a state-established political subdivision and taxing district. The RTA's current half-cent sales tax funds the 20-year plan through June 2026. And the RTA is laying the foundation to develop a new plan. To learn more, please visit www.rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
Biosphere 2's new ocean tour takes you behind the scenes of the largest experimental ocean in the world, researching solutions for the global coral reef crisis. Other exciting tours include the amazing 30-year history, a family tour for families with kids 10 and under, and the inspiring Under the Glass tour, one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. Visit UA Biosphere 2 today. Explore the future. Online giving for coral reef research and information about tours and more at biosphere2.org. Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
This is Bill Buckmaster, and you know how I love to travel. I've always searched for that new destination or travel experience that makes life so special. And I look to Ryan Hansen of Bon Voyage Travel for insight on current travel trends.
This is Ryan Hansen, and I'd like to personally invite your listeners to the Bon Voyage Travel Showcase. Over 40 travel partners will be on hand to answer all the individual travel questions that you have. Bill, you and I are going to team up for a joint presentation to help your listeners discover all the world has to offer.
I'm looking forward to it, Ryan, talking about the inspiration behind my lifetime of travel to more than 100 countries.
Join us on February 16th from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Hilton El Conquistador for Bon Voyage's free travel showcase.
And look no further, the folks at Bon Voyage will help you plan that perfect journey.
Be sure to visit bvtravel.com to RSVP.
All righty then, welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, midweek edition in mid-January. Dr. Victoria Mays is with us on the Buckmaster Show Liveline, and she's the Andrew Weil Endowed Chair in Integrative Medicine, and she also is the Executive Director of the Weil Center at the University of Arizona. One of the problems when you do have one of these colder viruses, you're up all night, perhaps coughing, blowing your nose, you're not getting enough rest, and you need enough rest. But Dr. Mays says it's not just about not getting any sleep when you've got a cold or flu. A lot of people are operating on 3-4 hours of sleep. It's just not enough.
Well, that's true. Lots of people are not getting enough sleep. In general, we think that most adults need 7 to 9 hours. There are certainly a few people, but it's a small percentage who we call short sleepers who do fine unless most people are just building up this sleep debt, and there's a cost to it. There's a cost to it in terms of how well we think, how creatively we solve problems, and also there's a cost in terms of strange things like more diabetes, weight gain that you wouldn't necessarily associate with not sleeping well.
How do you sleep?
Well, I am a lucky person. I usually sleep very well. I consider sleep a luxury, and I really enjoy sleep. I sometimes, when I'm lecturing to people on sleep, ask them, how they think about it. And I ask them to say whether they're like Shakespeare, who said, enjoy the honey heaven dew of slumber, or if they're like Thomas Edison, who you will remember invented the light bulb, sleep is a criminal waste of time and a heritage from our cave days.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, because you do hear people say, I'll sleep, eventually, and I don't worry about it. But it does pay. I think that you're going to be having pay good dividends if you can start to get some good sleep.
Yeah. And so, Bill, which are you? Are you someone like Shakespeare who thinks sleep is a wonderful thing, or like Edison who believes it's a terrible waste of time?
I love to sleep, and nothing nothing feels better to me than looking, waking up. It's my usual time. I don't use an alarm clock. It's odd how that works. But yeah. Between 6 and 6:15, I'm going to be awake. And I'm going to be awake at that time, whether I had one of those tossing and turning nights, or if I had one of those nights that I really cherish where I basically sleep straight through for 6-7 hours. That's a good night's sleep for me.
So, you know, it's good to hear that you love to sleep, because most of us are going to spend about a third of our lives, maybe a little bit more, sleeping. And if we live to the age of 90, we may have spent 32 years of it asleep. So good that you enjoy something that you spend so much time doing.
Are there any strategies that you could give our listeners, simple things, Dr. Mazes, that would enhance your sleep?
Sure, I'd be happy to. And then I think another important thing is to just ask, why do we need to sleep to begin with? You know,
okay.
We talked about some of the consequences of not getting a good night's sleep. But there are many people who recommend what we call good sleep hygiene. And one of those people is a professor of neuroscience and psychology at the University of California, Berkeley. His name is Matthew Walker, and he wrote a really good book called Why We Sleep. He has some tips. First of all, sleep in the dark. Light is stimulating, and you are going to do better if you sleep with in as dark a room as possible. So if a lot of light comes into your room, think about blackout curtains. Don't light up your room with a screen. That could be a television screen or a Kindle or the screen on your phone, because that is stimulating. So think about gradually moving into darkness the way you would in nature. You know, it doesn't get dark in an instant. We have dusk. We have a period of time when we go from light to dark. The next is something that you do. That's regularity. Try to go to bed and wake up at the same time, whether it's the weekend or the weekday. There is an advantage to that. Maybe some people don't know this, but we sleep better when we sleep in a cooler room. It's estimated somewhere between 65 and 68 degrees Fahrenheit is ideal. And that's because our body temperature actually needs to drop a bit for us to physiologically move into sleep. Avoiding caffeine may be obvious, although, you know, there are fast metabolizers of caffeine who could have a cup of coffee after dinner and go right to sleep. But for most people, you know, it has a relatively long half-life. That means it stays in your system a while. So after 2 o'clock, better not to have caffeine. And maybe also caution about alcohol. You know, people have that phrase, a nightcap, but actually alcohol can interfere with sleep. And then lastly, if you are unable to fall asleep, get out of bed. And again, that may seem counterintuitive, but you want to associate your bed with sleep or with sexual intimacy, but not with all sorts of other things. So if you can't fall asleep, get out of bed, go do something else, maybe take a warm bath, and then get back into bed.
If you're tossing and turning, how many minutes would you give it before you get out of bed and do something else?
Yeah, I think different people recommend different things, probably somewhere between 20 and 30 minutes. If you can't fall asleep, get out of bed and, you know, give it a rest and start again sometime later.
How about sleep aids?
Well, those are tricky. For the most part, all of these different sleeping pills that are on the market don't actually give you what we call normal sleep architecture. So that's where the brain waves change into these different patterns that show that you're either in deep sleep or in a dream state, also known as REM or rapid eye movement. So in general, they're not really giving you what you want, which is a normal sleep architecture. And then they have side effects. You may feel groggy the next day. You may be forgetful. Sometimes people do really bizarre things when they're taking these medicines that they're not conscious of. And we also know that there's an increased association with some of these sleep medicines with cognitive changes, such as the changes we see in Alzheimer's, a greater risk of falling, and even an increased association with cancer. So I think that it's not that you maybe should never use one, but you sure want to avoid using them regularly.
Well, we all know kids need a lot of sleep. That's part of it. What about older people over 65? I've heard that the older you get, the less sleep you need.
Yeah, that actually turns out to be a myth. In general, people's need for sleep does not go down as they get older, but they often have a harder time getting a good night's sleep. And this could be for a variety of reasons, including that they may have to get up to go to the bathroom. They sometimes have more body pain, which can fragment their sleep. As we get older, sometimes the deep sleep is harder to attain. So it's not clear, actually, that we need less sleep, but the sleep is not always as restorative.
Before we wrap it up, give us an update on the Center for Integrative Medicine, the Weill Center. What's the latest over there as we get into 2020?
Well, an incredibly exciting development is that we will be building a center building, we're already working with the architects. We have a wonderful architectural firm that's working with us, and come summer, we hope that we'll break ground and start putting up that new set of buildings.
Where will that be? Do you have your location picked out?
Yes, it'll be right on the campus, quite close to the new Health Sciences Innovation Building, and so it's at the corner of Cherry and Vine.
Very nice. A lot of excitement surrounding the center, and very well-deserved. Dr. Mazes, I'm glad we're off to a good year here. Both of us have had a little bit of discomfort with some kind of virus, but it's in the rearview mirror. There you go.
That is so true, and so may we both stay healthy.
I hope so. Thanks a lot. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks a lot. That's the midway point of the Buckmaster Show. Coming up next, your voice here on the Buckmaster Show. We'll launch that right after this.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Biosphere 2's new ocean tour takes you behind the scenes of the largest experimental ocean in the world, researching solutions for the global coral reef crisis. Other exciting tours include The Amazing 30-Year History, a family tour for families with kids 10 and under, and the inspiring Under the Glass Tour, one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. Visit UA Biosphere 2 today. Explore the future. Online giving for coral reef research and information about tours and more at biosphere2.org.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Welcome back. The Buckmaster Show and the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Green Things, our go-to place for everything green. Boy, they've got greenhouse after greenhouse loaded with plants. And of course, this is the winter season, so you can be doing put some beautiful winter flowers out. Of course, the 13-acre site now home to Zocalo and all that great merchandise. Much of it is handcrafted, beautiful things from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. So you've got two areas there that beautifully dovetail. You've got your pottery from Mexico there at Zocalo, and you've got all the things for the garden. Check it out, greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Today we launch our 2020 Your Vote, Your Voice here on the Buckmaster Show and on KVOI. All of our candidate interviews, of course, will be available on my website because we have every show we do is posted, but we'll also have an area at KVOI.com that will have all of our candidate interviews. And we're going to be doing a lot of interviews when you take the three shows with Wake Up Tucson, then Zach Yenser's show, Tipping Point, then my program. So there are going to be a lot of candidate interviews in there. I don't think that Steve Rivera, with his sports show, is going to be doing any candidate interviews, but I could be wrong. If he does, they'll wind up at KVOI.com. Anyway, Bill Beard is here. Bill's the former Pima County Republican chair, and he has tossed his hat into the ring. Bill, how are you?
I'm doing well, Bill.
So you're going for probably about a handful of people when you take the Republicans and Dems into the District 1 Pima County supervisorial race. Allie Miller has decided after two terms she's had enough. And so this race is pretty much wide open, Bill.
I believe it is. And one of the main reasons I jumped into this race was I truly believe that moving forward in the next 4 years, Pima County Supervisor District 1 needs a strong, vocal, persistent advocate out there for the taxpayer, a watchdog, if you will. And the one thing that I think, frankly, I admire the most about Supervisor Miller is the fact that she's been out there asking the hard questions. I truly believe moving forward, there has to be someone in that office that's not afraid to ask the tough questions. One of the things that has persistently plagued me as someone involved in politics has been the problem at local government level here in Southern Arizona is the number of people that are involved in elected office that I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. They should know better, but every time they vote on something or do something policy-wise, they end up screwing up a place I dearly love. This is home to me. I'm a fourth-generation Tucsonan. This will always be my home. There is something truly magical and wonderful about this community, about this special place on God's earth. And I truly question sometimes my sanity, but more importantly, the sanity of the elected officials that keep saying things that sound great, but when it comes to actually implementing the policy with their votes, passing budgets, you name it, it seems to deviate off into these blind alleys that don't get the community anywhere. We as a community for too long have seen the basics of what the average person, I don't care what their political persuasion is, would say government's not doing right. The roads all across Pima County. I don't care what part of the political spectrum you come from, our roads suck. And this has been a problem for a very long time. Someone has to be asking the hard questions of county government. Why are we having this conversation about, pick your topic, I don't care what it is, yesterday's board meeting, there were a whole bunch of things that they sound good, they make for a splash in the media somewhere, a YouTube video, whatever it happens to be, but at the end of the day, nothing was solved about the basic governance of Pima County. Our roads still suck. The people in charge do not seem to take how serious the problem is for the average person out there. I don't care whether you're the highest earning person in Pima County or you're at the very bottom. No one likes the condition of the roads. And those roads are taking money out of everyone's pocket, first in taxes that are supposed to go to fix the roads, but don't. And the second part is they're coming back a second time and saying, let's have another shot because we need more money because we spent it on all these other things. I don't know about you, but if you're paying taxes, whether directly through your property tax, maybe you're a rental and you do it through the rent you're paying each month, your money's not being wisely spent because the basics aren't taken care of. And to my mind, if you don't get the basics right, I don't care if you're in government, the professional world, the nonprofit world, private sector, public sector, however you want to define our population here locally. If you're not getting the basics right, you're not doing your job. And to my mind, the job of the Board of Supervisors is to get the basics right first. Not when we get around to it after all the other discussions, but first.
Tell me about your political background, Bill. I know you've been involved with Pima County politics. You were the chair of the party. Have you ever run for office?
I have. I ran for Pima County Recorder in 2012. Okay. I was the first Republican to challenge a 20-year incumbent during her entire 20 years. I'm not afraid of a hard fight. I've been out there advocating for changes to a lot of our election laws because I've served on the Election Integrity Committee here in Pima County, but I've also advocated for changes in laws working with the state legislature, working at the local level, working even sometimes at the national level. I was the county chairman in 2014 to 2016. I'm happy. I consider it a plus in my column. We flipped the sheriff's seat in Pima County from a longtime Democrat for decades to a Republican, Mark Napier. I consider that a very positive thing for the Pima County Republican Party. I have worked on national, local, and statewide campaigns all across the board for more than a decade, out in the trenches with the average Republicans. They've seen me doing the hard work. I spent some time working for the NRA in the 2018 cycle. I was very happy to represent that organization, advocating for positive pro-Second Amendment candidates all across Southern Arizona. I truly believe that my work out there in the community in non-elective office has been a positive for Southern Arizona. I'm just asking now for the voters in District 1 to make me one of those elected people so that I can have an even greater impact all across Southern Arizona and specifically District 1 in Pima County.
Where can people find out more about the campaign, Bill Beard?
You can find us on Facebook, Beard for Supervisor. We also have a website, beardforsupervisor.com. And both the FOR and the number 4 are both iterations you can go to, and it will direct you to the appropriate place. It's going to come down to who is the best person moving forward that is that advocate that says taxpayer money is valued and valuable. And as governors, as the people governing Pima County on the Board of Supervisors, we want to see that those tax dollars are wisely spent. That's the job I'm asking for. That's the job I intend to do once I'm elected in November. And I truly believe I'm the best person for that job.
All right, Bill Beard, thank you very much. Candidate in District 1 in the Pima County Supervisors race. Bill is a Republican. Thank you very much again, Bill.
Thank you.
All right, the Buckmaster Show continues now, 12:45 here on the Buckmaster Show. Our next candidate is Laura Conover. Laura is a Tucson attorney who hopes to become the Pima County attorney. We'll hear from her right after this.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The current Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year plan, the RTA Board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to identify priority projects based on public input. RTA member jurisdictions will submit their respective project lists by June 2020 for the CAC to consider for a future plan. To learn more, visit www.rtanext.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Just a three-hour drive to a really beautiful area of the southwestern United States. They always have a lot of activities going on and festivals. This one's of note. I know people love chocolate. There's Chocolate Fantasia coming up on February 8th over in Silver City. And there's so many things to do over there. Great recreation opportunities. A good starting place is southwestnewmexico.org for the complete listing of places to stay. And there's some really nice accommodations in the area and all sorts of recreation ideas, including the Gila National Wilderness, Silver City, and Grant County, New Mexico. We continue now with the 2020 Your Vote, Your Voice here on the Buckmaster Show. Joining me is Laura Conover. Laura is a lifelong Tucsonan and veteran criminal attorney. She has announced her candidacy for the Democratic nomination for Pima County Attorney. Laura, how are you?
Bill, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Tell me a little bit about yourself and how you got involved with the law.
I will. Thank you. I am a lifelong Tucsonan. I was raised here. I was a baby when my mother arrived and expecting my little brother, and she so fell in love with the old Pueblo, she knew she would stay forever. She raised me to be bilingual, even though she's not, because she wanted us to stay here forever and live and play and work. I grew up here. I stayed here for law school. I wanted to dedicate my career to criminal justice, and I did. 16 years now of law practice, all in criminal justice. The last 4 years, I've done defense work in my small practice, but I started doing security clearance work. I worked for large construction companies and fiber optics companies, helping them hire people coming out of prison to get them back on the job, stabilize our community. I started doing victim advocacy work, and that gave me a bird's eye view over the entire county system and the justice system and where things are going well and where things need improvement. And then about a year and a half ago, the federal bench, in advance of the government shutdown, appointed me to represent all 400 contract attorneys district-wide to the federal bench. And it turns out
that's a huge job.
It is a huge job. And it's been wonderful. It turns out I like to manage attorneys and represent them and inspire them and help them create best practices.
So you feel that you're very qualified to become the top law enforcement officer in Pima County as far as the legal concerns?
I do, because for 40 years we've had a partnership. Two individuals have run this office.
Barbara LaWall's been there for 24 years, and before her, Steve Neely.
Exactly.
I've been in town 32 years, so when he was the first, when I came to town, Steve was the Pima County attorney.
That's right, and she was his second-in-command.
A disciple of second-in-command of what he was doing.
That's exactly right, and my belief is that after 40 years, even a decent agency needs to embrace change to stay healthy. And my two opponents are disciples of the Neely and LaWall administration. They built their entire careers there. They're violent prosecutors there, violent crime prosecutors. And I think this has to be the perfect time to bring in an attorney from the outside who is uniquely qualified with a set of experiences and skills to breathe fresh air into that county administration.
And Laura, what has been the hallmark, in your opinion, of the Neely-LaWall partnership over that 40 years? What has been the hallmark of that office that you feel needs changing?
Bill, certainly, you know, good programs happened at the beginning of LaWall's term in office, in particular, I think. But after decades of over-criminalization, of overcharging, we have now been left with a huge incarceration problem where we are felonizing our community at record pace. It destabilizes our economy, and it's not good for the taxpayer. When we continue to focus our priorities, our limited budget, on low-level nonviolent drug offenders, drug addicts, instead of treatment, which is a third of the cost, we're not doing a service to the Pima County taxpayer, and we're undermining the stability and health of our county. We are on pace this past year. No, well, the data's in now that we're in January of 2020.
For the the number of cases.
That's right. My opponent, Jonathan Mosher, just broke the record on filing almost 7,000 felonies, which is the highest ever recorded in Superior Court history, while our sheriff tells us that the crime rate is down. This doesn't make sense financially, and it's inhumane.
Is that kind of the big issue? Is that going to emerge, Laura Conover, as the big issue in this race?
It is. My opponents are educated that the Democratic primary is concerned with criminal justice reform. We absolutely have to reframe our priorities. And so they are each talking about reform as well. And that's why it's going to be very important to draw the contrast that I am the reform candidate, that I've dedicated my entire life here, my entire career here to the reform that is necessary, as opposed to careers in that office putting people in prison. Look, prosecuting violent crime is important and will continue on. But that's probably...
Sure, it's important to the safety of the community.
Of course. But it's probably a quarter of 1% of what that office needs to be doing. And when we take those limited resources and we go after the poor and the ill and the addicted and just warehouse them in the jail, we don't go after those who are actually harming our community. Bill, we have not had a financial crimes unit in that office in 20 years. We must change that immediately, and that's my plan to start that on day one.
Why has that been missing from the mix?
We don't have the resources. We're using them in an old format where we just go after, you know, what they call the low-hanging fruit, the personal possession of marijuana and other drugs remains the highest number of felonies that are charged every year, the bulk of the felonies. And you expend all the county resources and taxpayer money on that, and then you don't have the resources or the energy or the personnel to go after the tough investigations that white-collar crime requires. We are allowing fraudsters and scammers to come right into our community and go after our parents and grandparents in Green Valley, in Oro Valley, all throughout our communities in Pima County, and go after them with these calls of, hello, your social security number has been compromised. Bill, I'm afraid that's working at record pace.
I hate those calls, and I get them. Everybody does.
We all do, yeah. And I'm afraid there are pockets of our populations that fall for it.
Sure.
And it's underreported because of guilt and shame. We don't have to give up on that. We absolutely can start with a communications campaign that says, there is no shame in this. Report this and help us catch these guys.
If elected, you'd be out in the community big time.
Oh, yes. I always have been. I've been very active in our community from a very young age. And that's, again, what my mother instilled in us. I went into the law, and my brother went into law enforcement. He went to the academy just as I was entering law school.
Where does this come from, this love of the law? As a kid, did you play like you were a prosecutor with your dolls? Or whatever.
It's true. No, it started at age six. I declared I would be an attorney at age six, and by nine I said I wanted to be criminal justice. Yes, I was watching the shows.
Sure.
Interviewing the parents of friends who were attorneys. It's true. True story.
Wow. All right, Laura, what about your campaign? Where can people find out more about the campaign?
Oh, yes, Bill, thank you. LauraConover.com, LauraConover.com. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Conover for County Attorney is the Facebook page. It's a very active Facebook page.
And on your website, there'll be your whole outline of your platform, and you'll go into all of that in your bio, I'm sure.
Yes, indeed, exactly. It's all about reframing priorities and moving forward into 2020.
All right. Laura Conover, thank you very much.
Bill, thanks so much.
All right. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. Coming up next, we've got the Dave Ramsey Show here on KVOI. It's a very popular talk show. But the Buckmaster Show returns at 12:04 tomorrow on KVOI, your trusted source for news talk. On behalf of Laura Conover and my engineer producer, Tom Fairbanks, we wish you a pleasant afternoon. Talk to you tomorrow.